Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Thursday, December 22nd of 2022. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 holiday party eve / day. What's going on, everybody? We've got a lot of stuff to dive into, I hope, today. Didn't do as much prep. You know, you're in that right before Christmas phase. You're thinking to yourself, damn, it's the 22nd. I still haven't bought any presents. You're thinking to yourself, maybe, hey, I got to get the house ready for the relatives, maybe even some in-laws, or I'm about to go travel. Before the show, Sean Mapes behind the glass and I were thinking about things that we could dive into today, right? Because no one wants to hear about the Houston Texans, as I have been reminded constantly, especially by those on Twitch. And Houston Astros baseball is 98 days away. So are we doing our due diligence by continuing to beat on to the carcass of the 2022 season for numbers? So, Sean, what is it that we could discuss today? I need some help here.
It was really hard. I was, you know, even showing up to work today, I still wasn't really sure. And then, like manna from heaven, I saw the coming up next graphic on First Take.
Ooh.
So let's use some First Take. They're a very popular show. I don't know.
The numbers on TV. Stephen A. Smith's on it. They even got Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah.
Can't believe they can afford him with Stephen A. Smith on the show. But this is a show with personalities and that people pay a lot of attention to at 10 o'clock Central Time in the morning.
So, first question. Should the Ravens pay Lamar Jackson?
Wait.
Should they pay him?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think that's the end of the topic. Isn't that as far as it goes?
No, normally someone else, like Stephen A. Smith, yells at you for that opinion.
There are three people on the television right now talking about that very subject. On the bottom line, it says, should the Ravens consider cutting ties with Lamar Jackson?
That's a better question.
On a serious note, imagine moving on from Lamar Jackson.
They're 9-5 right now.
And they're saying, should the Ravens consider moving on from Lamar Jackson because he's missed two games? And I will actually give you a little nugget of information that we shouldn't even be entertaining this topic, but this nugget of information is important. Did you know that only 12 quarterbacks in the NFL have started every single game? And we still have 3 games left to go? Only 12? Anyway, the obvious answer is no, they should not consider cutting ties with Lamar Jackson. What else we got?
Well, my question was, should they consider paying them? So, yes.
Yes, they should consider paying him.
Okay.
100%.
Is this the worst Golden State Warriors? Is this the worst that the Golden State Warriors have ever been?
That's another topic that was on First Take.
Yes. I have no original ideas today.
Didn't they just have the number 2 draft pick? I think they're okay. They're the defending world champions.
Lost by a lot to the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, they gave up 91 first-half points.
So this is the worst they've ever been. They've never given up 91 points.
You know what? Screw it. I'm going to zag. Yes, it's the worst.
It's over?
They've ever been.
Will you do the First Take move of not only doubling down with a crazy take, but then double down upon it by saying it's over.
It's totally over.
Show's over, folks.
Steph Curry should retire. Boom.
Or demand a trade.
Both.
To New York.
Yeah. The Knicks.
There we go. First take.
Wow, we're cooking with gas right now. What else do we have, Sean, as possible topics?
Speaking of that one basketball game last night.
Wait, they did multiple segments on one basketball game.
I'm pretty sure it was an ESPN game.
Okay.
Are the Brooklyn Nets, and this is important on December 22nd, what I'm about to ask, are the Brooklyn Nets going to win the NBA title? Are they going to do it?
No. No, no. Kyrie Irving is an idiot, and he will somehow, some way, find a way to totally destroy the team's chemistry. He will do it by the end of the year.
Wait.
It's what he does best.
Wait, you're saying that a guy who's only a month removed from being suspended for making anti-Semitic comments and then not really apologizing for him, you think that guy with another 6 months until the NBA Finals might do something?
Yes. It's a matter of when. I wish that there was a way to gamble on, will Kyrie Irving do something? Like, just something.
Will he be, like, basically suspended from his own team?
I think the next evolution of Kyrie Irving is to say, you know, Russia and Ukraine, Vladimir Putin, it belongs to him. Like, that's the next evolution.
How can you tell a man what he does and doesn't want?
That's a great point. Especially in 2022, men need their rights back. Here's what we're seriously going to lead off with. Anyone remember this from August? Laramie Tunsil, left tackle for your Houston Texans, was asked what he thinks about second-year quarterback Davis Mills.
What are your thoughts about Davis Mills, his growth from last year to this year, and what he's bringing to you guys?
Dog.
Now, the kind of dog that Davis Mills has been this season has been more akin to a Chihuahua, which has no value. No offense to those with Chihuahuas out there. Either they're terrified of you or they're angry at you all the time, followed closely by pugs, which are just disgusting dogs. And after that, bulldogs, also disgusting with a massive underbite. Whatever. That's more what Davis Mills has been this season. But let's focus on Laramie Tunsil. The Texans are 1-12-1, but they do have a Pro Bowler. It's Laramie Tunsil. And you know what? The guy's been awesome this season. I don't pretend to watch offensive line play every single game, but in the little write-up that we have from the Houston Texans, who sent out an email release, Laramie Tunsil has been named a starter for the 2023 Pro Bowl. What does that mean? A great question. We don't know what the Pro Bowl is going to be because it's not going to be a game.
I was going to ask, so he's going to Hawaii and playing in a football game, right?
Yes. I guess. I'm assuming it's going to be like punt, pass, and kick. But he has been selected for the third time after starting all 14 games at left tackle. According to Pro Football Focus, Tunsil has a 91.3 pass block rating, which ranks first among all offensive linemen. Additionally, the database credits him with surrendering only one sack on the year, making him one of four tackles in the NFL who have allowed fewer than two. Guess who the other one? One of the other ones is Titus Howard. How about that? Actually got something to work with on the offensive line. Now, what's interesting is taking a look at Laramie Tunsil's contract. If the Texans really want to get crazy and don't want to pay Tunsil's $36 million or so cap hit for next season, they could get out of it, and they would only be eating about $16 million in dead money if they really want to go cheap and get more space. But the thing is about the Texans, they have a ton of it right now. Laramie Tunsil's cap hit for next year being $36 million isn't very movable, is it? We learned that the hard way with Brandon Cooks and the Texans at the trade deadline. 2 years, what, $36 million or so? No one wanted any of that, even when Brandon Cooks quit on the team, and especially when they took a look at his numbers this season and saw the massive drop in production that he had from last year to this year. So you might be thinking to yourself, well, doesn't really make sense to give Tunsil an extension, but I 100% disagree. The Texans should extend Laramie Tunsil, or at the very least try. Why? Because one, he's been awesome this season. Two, you're going to need him for whatever quarterback you potentially bring into the building next year, whether it's a rookie quarterback or a veteran. Three, it's very hard to find offensive linemen. You already bit the bullet and traded two first-round picks to get Tunsil, and he's played pretty well for you. And number four, and this is perhaps most important, because you're probably wondering why Tunsil would actually accept a contract extension with the Houston Texans. It's because it would make him more tradable. He's 28 years old, going to be 29 next season. He is in his prime. He is arguably the best left tackle in the National Football League. Bill O'Brien's dream finally coming true. This is the guy that you want in the building as long as you can. So there you go. That's our Houston Texans take of the day. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. And by the way, also, if they keep Laramie Tunsil around, it allows me to keep bringing this song back into the fold. And we haven't played it yet right here on the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This was a Gallant Says podcast special back in the summer of 2019. You've heard me sing songs about Jeremy Pena, but you probably haven't heard me sing songs about Laramie Tunsil. I now present you one.
At home, making bad trades for third-round picks and first-round busts. Billy always mad, watching shooting steam. 'Cause he traded Clowney for cents on the dollar. Because he wasn't a worker bee, no. Oh, but Houston, the city was really mad. O-B-O-B, you are wicked. Deshaun needs a lineman like Laramie Tunsil. He'll be a trade today. Laramie Tunsil, get him today. Yeah.
Next evolution on that song might be Laramie Tunsil needs an extension today, because I think he should get a contract extension. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in too on the HRNP listener line. You can join us in our Twitch chat, twitch.tv/ESPN975, or tweet us at Gallant Says Sean Mapes behind the glass at Sean A. Mapes. That conversation on the table, whether or not the Texans should extend Tunsil, can be discussed next. Also, who else is going to stick around? We heard from Pep Hamilton yesterday, and there's something interesting to note about the way that the Texans presented Pep Hamilton's press conference. Read those tea leaves. I'll read them for you next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Super interactive. We might have to ban singing by Paul Gallant going forward, at least per the text line. The HRNP listener line from the 409. Stop! ! Singing! ! OMG! ! Stop! ! This makes your show terrible. The power of music, guys, unlocks something special in everyone's heart.
It's nice to know that's what makes the show terrible.
Whoa. Says the producer of the Paul Gallant Show. Another text, Paul from the 281. That was terrible. No, it's because the references are dated, okay? You just don't understand high art. But that might be something going forward. Do we keep singing on the Paul Gallant Show? Also, what does Sean think is terrible on the Paul Gallant Show? Just list them all. I mean, we're getting close to New Year. Yeah, we can set New Year's resolutions for ourselves.
I'm saying that if the singing's what makes it terrible, it's not that bad.
Right, we don't sing that much. It's just every now and then. A passing comment. Is it the reason that I am consistently asked about my sexuality? Probably. But look, we continue to push forward like we're Deshaun Watson, minus all of those things.
We stand on our innocence.
We do. Our voice is innocent and pure as it sings jubilantly. It's almost Christmas, guys. Isn't there Christmas spirit in your hearts right now? Because you know, from Buddy the Elf, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. Huh. Bet some of you people don't even believe in Santa Claus out there. Ridiculous. Another comment. This one has to do with our last topic about Laramie Tunsil. I thought for sure, says Double Rods on twitch.tv/ESPN97.5, that Tunsil was leaving. Dude bought a $3 million house and sold it 9 months later after the Watson stuff went down. Well, I think house prices were still going up at that point in time. I think they've started to go back in the other direction. But I think the Texans should extend Laramie Tunsil. Real quick side note before I move into our next topic about what the hell the Texans are going to do at offensive coordinator. Next season, it does feel, if you read the tea leaves, like they're already moving on from Pep Hamilton. What are you supposed to do as a homeowner when it's supposed to freeze overnight and when you're going to be gone for a weekend? Because I'm flying out tomorrow to head up to visit my mom and my sister and my brother-in-law and my godson in Massachusetts for Christmas. And I know that we're supposed to have crazy weather. I'm hoping that it's not going to be as bad as it was back in, what, February of 2021, where everything lost its mind for a week. I remember seeing that from afar and thinking, wow, who would have thought Seattle would have better weather than Houston at any point during the winter? But the governor said the grid's going to hold up. Okay, yeah, like that makes me feel great. Also, people are trying to figure out what you do with your pipes. Hidalgo said, keep your faucets trickling overnight. But Sylvester Turner said, well, if everything's dripping, it could make it hard for firefighters. Oh, actually, I would like you guys all to be in lockstep. Sorry to turn this political. Can we have one opinion? I don't want Hidalgo and Turner to go back and forth saying, well, drip your faucets, but there's a fire, you're screwed. Like, I don't want to hear that when I'm gone for a weekend. So help on the text line would be nice on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Just wanted to get that off of my chest. I was looking online. What am I supposed to do? And is the power grid going to hold up? And I get just all sorts of answers that you expect from politicians. Just, hey, let's take you in a million different directions.
And now you're asking the Twitch and the text line. Like, they're not going to pull you. Like, there's going to be, like, three different opinions.
Actually, I believe in the people. I stand for the people. And I think that they're going to give me the right answer. I'm being serious here. I think they are more likely to tell me the right thing to do than politicians. But that's just me. Oh, boy. We shift from politicians to somebody that I imagine right now all of Houston agrees needs to go. Pep Hamilton, offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans. Pep Hamilton, at his press conference yesterday, was asked about the Texans' two-quarterback package, which we have seen, especially last week, too much of late. It was horrible against the Kansas City Chiefs. In fact, I think it actually cost them a chance at winning that game when they used it in just absolutely brutal situations that seemed to kill the momentum on drives that they were going on. Pep Hamilton was asked about what he's hoping to see more of and what he's hoping to accomplish with that two-quarterback package yesterday. Here's Pepper Ruski.
Well, I would hope that just the potential of us, you know, just presenting different packages, in some cases, be a deterrent, you know, for defenses that want to, you know, really be aggressive when Davis is in the game or really pack the box when, you know, it's just they have to prepare for all the above, and in doing so, we would hope that it would limit the potential looks that we'll see.
Well, you don't have to throw a lot of looks at a package that has two quarterbacks on the field. You don't. Davis Mills is not an athletic player. When he is lining up at wide receiver, you know exactly what's going to happen. And Jeff Driskel, as a passer, leaves a lot to be desired too. Pep Hamilton's two-quarterback system, the Driskel Cat, I think is the biggest sign that shows his future in Houston is not very long. But something else that and perhaps reading a little bit too much into. Generally, the Houston Texans will post all of their press conferences on YouTube. They'll actually air them live as well. And one of the interesting things to see is to see the comments section. as these press conferences go on for Lovie Smith, for Davis Mills. Those are on their YouTube channel. Do you know who was not on the Texans' YouTube channel? And maybe I'm reading too much into this, but Pep Hamilton's press conference was not there. And I can imagine why, because what kind of comments are you going to see from the few people that are actually watching a press conference featuring Pep Hamilton? And I'll admit it, I was wrong. I thought that Pep Hamilton as offensive coordinator of this team was going to be able to build off of what we thought we saw at the end of last year, where Pep Hamilton and the Texans offense actually seemed to be showing strides during a time in the year where it felt like Tim Kelly was slowly being phased out, or at the very least was sharing his workload with Hamilton. After the year, David Culley said, well, I want to keep Tim Kelly going forward, and ultimately, he ended up getting canned. I think that was one of the reasons that Culley was canned, not the only reason. So I was optimistic about Pep Hamilton going into this year and after what he had done in D.C. and maybe in a different situation with different players and a different quarterback, he actually can be a good coach in this league. I'm not going to rule that out, but it's been bad, and it seems like the Texans are low-key acknowledging that this might be the end of his tenure here. I don't blame them for not putting that up on YouTube. The comment section, you think the Twitch .tv/USB975 comment section gets bad from time to time? No offense, you guys sometimes go in directions that I'm like, wait, where are we going? Why has this turned into a political conversation? What did I even say this time? You take a look at some of the YouTube comments with these press conferences. They are violent. Absolutely violent. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I suppose at some point we could play the second half of that Laramie Tunsil song, but I'm going to let it breathe a little bit. For those specific texters who are like, when the show plays music, it sounds like cancer. Okay, fine. Up next, we go around the NFL. Is it unfair to compare quarterbacks from the 2021 NFL draft class, say, comparing Davis Mills to two quarterbacks who will be playing later tonight, Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence? One head coach thinks so. We'll talk about that and other news across the league next.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
We're tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Some comments first on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. First off, should the Paul Gallant Show continue to incorporate singing into the program? Another texter likes the singing. He says it's amazing, or she. That guy is just a Grinch. Embrace debate. We also have a couple of comments getting annoyed about the fact that we discussed more Houston Texans. Look, Laramie Tunsil's a Pro Bowler. Here we go with more Texans. What is this? The wheelhouse? Hey, not cool, guys. I didn't say that either. That is the texter writing that about the wheelhouse, okay? Another text. Extend Laramie Tunsil. What a joke. He is trash. I'm just going to stop reading after that. He brings up he has the most false starts on that line. He's the best pass protector in the NFL per a lot of metrics. And he's only allowed, what, one sack this season? He's played really well. You might not be a fan of him. He was perhaps on social media, at least, seeming as if he was unhappy here. But if you want to trade Laramie Tunsil, you got to extend him. That contract is not movable next year, especially for a rental. Someone going to want to take on the rest of that salary? It's going to be difficult, I think, for them to move him. So if you extend him, get him under a multi-year contract, some team might be willing to trade a second-round pick or something like that for him. But the trade is not, and you would have to tell Tunsil, too, that you would give him that extension and possibly trade him, too. Because he would have to be okay with that possibility down the road. And I think he would be okay with it, but this isn't like Madden where you just do things like this. I think you would want to say maybe, okay, we'll give you a no-trade clause, but you get to pick where you would go. And there would be, I think, a pretty robust market for him as opposed to Brandon Cooks when he signed that extension, which I thought made sense for Davis Mills this season. I thought that he would be better this year. That contract is not movable if he's not producing.
Still with the Texans talk. Come on, Cody.
Fine.
Are you Cody Stutes over there?
Oh, one last take. I do have a suggestion for offensive coordinator for Houston next season. I do. But I'm not going to say his last name. Not going to say his last name. But it makes sense, especially, say, the Texans take Bryce Young. His name's William, okay? What? Why are you shaking your head, Sean? William. Just trust me. He has a background as an offensive coordinator. And if that's the only responsibility he's given, hey, it might work out.
I'm not sure if he takes the job.
I don't think he would either. But, you know, people that may or may not have stabbed him in the back, they're gone. And I'm not even being entirely sarcastic about this. He's not bad as an offensive coordinator. He's not great as an offensive coordinator. But as a guy by the name of William. And that's going to wrap up our Texans talk on the Paul Gallant Show. Let's go to Thursday Night Football. We have no Davis Mills under center. We have two other quarterbacks from the 2021 draft class. It's Trevor Lawrence with the Jaguars, who are red hot, right behind the Tennessee Titans for first place in the AFC South. And you also have the 500 New York Jets with Zach Wilson back under center. Robert Saleh was asked about both Zach Wilson and Lawrence, and he said it's unfair to compare the two. Yeah, it's unfair to compare the two because Zach Wilson is in a better situation. Zach Wilson has Garrett Wilson as wide receiver. That is better than anyone that the Jaguars have. Zach Wilson has the Jets defense on the other side of the ball as him. The Jets are a much better team than the Jaguars. So yeah, it is unfair to compare Zach Wilson to Trevor Lawrence. Lawrence is in the worst situation and the Jaguars are doing more with less. Credit to Doug Peterson for being able to pull that off. Can you believe that the Jets are 1.5-point favorites in this game, too? I'm sorry. That's ridiculous.
Is it in? It has to be in New York.
I'm assuming so.
Yeah.
Whatever the case, it's Zach Wilson. Guys, he is terrible. He is a terrible quarterback. Objectively terrible. Oh, he made some splash plays last week. Did you see the bad ones? Did you see the interceptions? Good God. As we continue to go around the NFL, Ryan Tannehill is going to need surgery on his ankle. So if you're the Jaguars, you're feeling great right now. He is probably out for the rest of the year, meaning, oh no, it's Malik Willis against the Texans on Sunday. That's going to be a rough game. The last time I saw Malik Willis under center against the Texans, I literally walked a lap through the bowels of NRG Stadium to clear my head. And then I got back on the dating apps because I did not want to watch the game anymore.
I think the Texans are in the win zone for Sunday. Push Kansas City to overtime. Push Dallas to the brink. Now Malik Willis.
And you said I'm talking too much, Texans, but I don't disagree. This is a game that they actually have a chance to win.
Dangerously close to winning this game.
But that's like the majority of the games they played this year, too. They should have beaten the Bears, who stink. They should have beaten the Broncos, who stink. They should have beaten the Colts, who stink. Like, there are lots of opportunities here, and I can understand why they're mad. Anyway, speaking of the Texans, J.J. Watt used to play for the Texans. I don't know how many people have watched the Cardinals version of Hard Knocks, but here's a heartwarming clip where he tells a young player that you gotta do what's right for you.
I hated football for like the first 8 games of my rookie year. I sucked. I was just bad. I wasn't doing great. I wasn't pass rushing great. I had a really rough game. I got pulled from the game 3 times because I was a 3 technique and I got cut out of my gap 3 times. So they finally took me out of the game. The line coach told the trainer, take his helmet away. I don't want him going back in. And I was just sitting there like, I'm a first rounder. I stink. That night, I was like, you know what? I'm a good player. Like, I know what I'm doing. I know how to play football. I'm trying to please everybody and take every step right and take every hands right. There's a reason I got here. It's because I know what I'm doing. So the next day, kind of said, I'm sucking already. So why not suck doing it my way? And I was so much more free and I was so much more trusting myself and just playing football. Just, it was like a weight had been lifted off me because I didn't care if I got yelled at because I was already getting yelled at. I already sucked, you know? If they're going to cut me, they're going to cut me. But at least I'm going to know I did it my way.
So they were never going to cut him. He was a first round pick. No way. He didn't play well at the beginning of 2011. That is for sure. I really wonder what the relationship was with his defensive line coach at the time. I honestly forget who it was in 2011 off the top of my head. I do know Wade Phillips was the defensive coordinator, though. We had him on Friday. And Phillips said, look, you got great defensive players. You let them do their thing. You let them go outside the scheme. And I imagine that while JJ is right in that he started to do his own thing, I think that Wade Phillips probably said, all right, we're gonna get more out of him by just letting him do whatever. And then you get the pick six against the Cincinnati Bengals. And then, of course, just an incredible 2012 season, which started off his career in Houston. I miss J.J. Watt. I really do. Some people think that he's inauthentic. Did you see, though, on Twitter, he murdered somebody in cold blood. Somebody, I guess, questioned him and called him corny because there was a post about how the first three players in NFL history, the quickest to get to 75 sacks, Reggie White, number one, J.J. Watt, number two, and T.J. Watt, number three. Watt tweeted about it saying, pretty cool to be sandwiched in between your brother and your favorite player growing up. Someone, I guess, called him out and said, like, why are you never real? And J.J. Watt found a picture from, like, when he was 7 years old in a newspaper of him saying that Reggie White is his favorite player and he basically wants to be Reggie White. He wants to be a football player. I mean, it was pretty impressive that he had this receipt. He sent it back and the guy deleted his account. Like, his account doesn't even exist anymore. I don't even know what was tweeted. J.J. Watt. Is he bullying people online? I'm just kidding. That maybe was fantastic.
Maybe he's not being authentic about how cool it is that his little brother's behind him.
Yeah, I bet he would be annoyed by his little brother being behind him, Sean. That's a good point. His little brother is making it look like, just on. As easy.
What? And Watt, Lawrence Taylor or someone? Had to be my brother?
Yeah, and you know what? T.J. Watt plays a position that is a lot closer to that of Lawrence Taylor, where he's playing outside linebacker. J.J. Watt is playing a position where it is ridiculous, 3-4 defensive end, that he was able to get the amount of sacks that he did. Like, that is completely unprecedented in that scheme. Anyway, let's continue. Matt Ryan benched for Nick Foles. Good for Nick Foles. So this will be the 10th straight year that he starts at least one game in the NFL. But he hasn't taken any snaps with a first-team offense this year because of Sam Ehlinger. He says, though, he wasn't bothered that Sam Ehlinger got the first crack at stepping in for Matt Ryan. I got to say this about Nick Foles. Seems to have an absolutely blessed living, and maybe he's blessed in more ways than one, given his nickname, Big You-Know-What Nick. But he's had such an awesome career, and it's hard to not be happy for the guy that he just embraces whatever opportunity he's given. Sometimes that's a good way to go through life. Not to ask for any more, not to expect any more. So, good for Nick Foles, back under center for Indianapolis on Sunday. Not good, the New England Patriots situation. So, Bill Belichick seems to be having issues with Mac Jones, who, to be perfectly honest, seems to be having a meltdown in front of us. If you've been watching New England Patriots games recently, you'll notice that he's getting really pissy during games. He's yelling at coaches. Seems rather subordinate. Belichick was asked if Jones will be the starter the rest of the year at his press conference yesterday.
Stick with Mac here at quarterback to the final 3 weeks.
Let's try to beat Cincinnati.
That's all he had. So he's essentially pulling out of the old bag of tricks. We're on to Cincinnati. But there are some questions now about Bill Belichick's future in New England. Seth Wickersham was on Bill Simmons' podcast and said, quote, I think the way Bill Belichick treats Patriots owner Robert Kraft has not been well received. Sometimes when Caserio was there, he would have to ask Kraft what's going on with the team. Belichick wasn't giving it to him. So Belichick's keeping Kraft in the dark. Kraft can't be happy about that. And Greg Rosenthal, who was on with us yesterday of the NFL Network, the Around the NFL podcast, his theory is that the Krafts want to send a message to Bill Belichick through the media. Not a good way to go about things. I think this one's going to end rather messily, much like the Patriots' time with Tom Brady came to an end messily. Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday as we continue to go around the NFL. And he got mad about a sourced report that said that he gives hand signals at the line of scrimmage that a lot of players are confused by. And players went on record saying that they were confused by it. Randall Cobb, Sammy Watkins, Romeo Doubs, Chris Blair, Equanimeous St. Brown, Kylan Hill, Jordan Love, Sean Beyer, Jay Sternberger, Robert Tonyan, and Amari Rodgers. All named, all on record, questioning Aaron Rodgers at the line of scrimmage and saying that, yeah, we're confused from time to time. Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show handled those criticisms with great dignity and took them in stride.
It is by far the dumbest nothing burger article that I've read in the entire season. I won't say in my career, because, I mean, last year there were some of the dumbest articles you possibly imagine. I don't know if you ever topped the COVID to a Wall Street Journal, but this was the dumbest article of the year by far. 95% of articles, absolute complete horse.
Okay. All
right. And the other 5% is exaggerated nothingness that, I don't know, like having guys, go through the signals each week and understand what the possible signals could be.
The COVID animosity towards Aaron Rodgers last season for his takes on it, I always thought that they were much. But I think that before and after, Rodgers has always proven that he is insufferable with a microphone in front of him with a mindset that he is smarter than everybody else. Whining about his situation when the Packers were as good as they were over that 2-year stretch, oh, they don't treat people well. What, they got rid of a 500-year-old wide receiver and a couple of pass rushers who were all of a sudden past their prime? You take issue with that? That's bad by an organization that's been probably the most successful in the NFL over the last 30 years, talking about those Green Bay Packers. Maybe not in terms of Super Bowl wins, but in terms of win losses. That's for damn sure with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. But also, too, just constant acting as if the media is putting words in his mouth, or if they're anonymously saying things about him that they're not willing to go on record with. That report from The Athletic, again, named 12 different wide receivers who had issues with his hand signals at the line of scrimmage. That's all. 95% BS and 5% made up. How does that even make sense?
I mean, did you not hear? It's the worst article he's read this season.
I disagree with that.
Well, no, you can't. You don't know all the articles he's read this season.
Fair enough.
Maybe he's only read great stuff.
But he even said, like, well, it's not as bad as it was the year before. He's exaggerating. A little hyperbole there. A little hyperbole sauce on top of that. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. To jump aboard on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. The Cougs won by a million last night. That's nice. Promising little development in that game. The Rockets, meanwhile, blew a 20-point lead down the stretch. We like watching the Cougs. Is there a serious sell for watching Rockets basketball right now? I know they're young, I know they're talented, but can you tolerate the dumb? We'll talk about that next, and I'm going to ruin a Christmas movie for you. Paul Galan Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Loaded, ready to
rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Galan Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Galant.
A couple of texts on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. It has to do with a song that we played earlier today. A song about Laramie Tunsil, which may have paved the way for future songs about Jeremy Pena that have been aired on this very show. And that are the reason that Jeremy Pena and I are very close friends. We're just waiting for him to respond to our interview request. It'll happen at any moment in time. But a text, Paul can sing, from the 307. Jeremy Pena, he could only sing that. Another texter, only if you're singing Jeremy Pena. So, okay, that's the compromise. Jeremy Pena is the only song I can sing. Why not Laramie Tunsil? He's the best player in the Houston Texans. Come on. The best team in town is the Houston Cougars. They blew McNeese State out of the water, 83-44 last night. Didn't watch the game, but they finished their non-conference 12-1. Interesting little tidbit. Redshirt freshman Emmanuel Sharp hit 6 threes. That is a freshman record. Now, it might be because McNeese State isn't very good. The defense wasn't up to snuff. But that's something that I hope by the end of the year can be more consistent, because the Cougs are going to need somebody that can actually hit threes come tournament time. That's the unfortunate part, though, of playing in the American Athletic Conference schedule. The rest of the way, they are not going to be challenged all that much, at least looking at the rankings right now. Meanwhile, we got to see the Houston Rockets play against a player they could have had if the lottery went in their favor last, this past, what was it? When was the lottery? June? July?
June.
Okay. Thanks, Sean. They played last night the Orlando Magic, and Orlando got the guy that I was hoping the Rockets would get, Alavengero from Duke. The Magic have now won 7 of 8, and thanks to Banchero's 23-13, Orlando was able to overcome a 15-point second-half deficit and beat the Rockets 116-110. In a night where Kevin Porter, at least from a fantasy basketball perspective, looked really good. Kevin Porter Jr. had 31 points. He was 12 of 19 from the field. But if you watch the game down the stretch, holy bleeping guacamole, this team is dumb. And I get it. They're young. And they flash from time to time. You'll see a nice dunk from Alperen Şengün. You will see Jalen Green go on a hot streak. Kevin Porter Jr. go on a hot streak. Tariq Eason. Woo! Kenyon Martin Jr. This team has more young talent than the Houston Texans have, obviously. But good God, they need a point guard so bad. They turn it over so much. At one point, it was 6 turnovers in the fourth quarter, and it was like they were trying to give the game away to Orlando. I just need a point guard on this team. I don't think that they are as watchable as other people make them out to be. And maybe I'm old, fuddy-duddy, fundamentals guy, but I would like a team that doesn't just piss away the ball as much as the Rockets do. And it's even if our good friend Vanessa Richardson is on the broadcast, it is difficult to continue to watch this team because the games that they had against Philadelphia and Phoenix, they're few and far between, and they still make mistakes on the stretch. I don't enjoy growing with this team or watching them develop before our eyes as much as some people do, especially the completely loony Red Nation folks online. Everything they do, it's great. They're the worst team in basketball. You know, that home stand that they were on that started off so well, what have they lost now? 4 in a row? 5 in a row? It's hard to watch. And I think that we are going to be comparing Paolo Banchero to Jabari Smith Jr. for a while. And there were some moments last night where Banchero, even one-on-one against Smith, like, looked like he's going to be an actual franchise difference maker, where Smith seems like he might be an elite role player at some point in time. But he's got some skills. We'll see what actually happens on that front. We also saw after the game, and I was unable to grab the audio of this because Fubo TV is a terrible watching apparatus and will change the channel very often when you're trying to rewind. But Kevin Porter Jr. after the game was asked about like some of the rest that he's been getting of late. And once again, Sean Mapes, he brought up the holiday season. It's like, yeah, you know, it's good to get rest on the court during the holiday season. You got to stop saying holiday season, Kevin. You know, we're willing to give you a fresh start this season after you were as frustrating as you were, especially with handling the ball last season and then the whole, you know, about a year ago, like leaving the team in the middle of a game. That's a bad look that many players never get to overcome.
Wait, did he leave the team in the middle of a game during the holiday season?
He did. It was New Year's Day.
It's tough, dude. You don't understand how
Does New Year's Day still count, no, Sean, as the holiday season?
Holiday season? Is New Year's a holiday?
I think New Year's Eve is the holiday. Like, New Year's Eve is the one where everyone gets wasted. The New Year's Day, everyone's...
He's coming down from the season, you know?
It hasn't even really begun, though.
Holiday season.
I'm sorry. If you need rest during the holiday season when you're in your 20s, like, just wait. I don't even have kids. I can't even imagine what it's like for all our listeners right now that have kids during this time of year. It's got to be stressful as hell the last couple of days. And that's before even relatives could be potentially visiting. Good God.
Someone should ask him, like, what his New Year's resolutions are.
No. No.
And then after New Year's, be like, you know, follow up with them.
Here's one. Don't let the holiday season affect me next year. Just a thought.
In January, they lose 3 games in a row. He's like, yeah, you know.
Man, the epiphany. The epiphany is really, and for those who don't know, epiphany is like January, like 6th, 7th, 8th, something like that. That's when the three wise men finally made it to the Bethlehem stable where
Joseph and Mary were hanging out.
Wait, they stayed in that stable for like 3 weeks?
Oh, they stayed there for a while. Yeah. I don't think they came on Christmas Day or when Jesus was born. Like, it was a couple of weeks, I think.
Come on, wise men.
Well, they saw a star in the east, and then they started moving.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Freaking Balthazar.
Giddy up.
Who brought myrrh? Like, you know, the gold guy, great. Who brought the frankincense and myrrh guys? Looking at the dude who was bringing the gold. Like, sucks to be you two. Like, I think I know who Jesus, like, had a really nice spot in heaven for. Like, definitely not the other two. One last thing. Look, I love Christmas movies. I need to ruin a Christmas movie for you. It's a Wonderful Life is probably my favorite Christmas movie. I can quote the majority of the movie with my sister. That said, it needs to be acknowledged how little game George Bailey has. George Bailey, played by Jimmy Stewart in the movie and by another child actor. It's a movie that came out back in the day, and I suppose people weren't spitting game the way that they are today, back right after World War II. But this is the first interaction that we see between George Bailey and Violet, who is the town tramp, and Mary, who is a god, Mary Hatch. This is how it goes with George Bailey talking to these two young women.
Here you are.
Help me down.
Help you down.
See, that's mean right there. She goes off.
Made up your mind yet?
I'll take chocolate.
With coconuts?
I don't like coconuts.
You don't like coconuts? Say, brainless, don't you know where coconuts come from? Look at here. From Tahiti.
And it just keeps going.
Fiji Islands, the Coral Sea.
A new magazine. I never saw it before.
Of course you never. Only us explorers can get it.
Oh.
I've been nominated for membership in the National Geographic Society.
Is this the year you can't hear on? George Bailey, I'll love you till the day I die.
She's so sweet.
I'm going out exploring someday. You watch. And I'm going to have a couple of harems and maybe three or four wives. Wait and see.
But let's just dissect how bad George is in this spot. And again, he's a boy. She's a girl. But not only does he say, hey, say brainless, because she doesn't like coconuts, which is very normal.
Don't you know where coconuts come from?
Then he like brags about a magazine membership. What? Like the Ovaltine thing in A Christmas Story? The Ovaltine Dakota ring? And then...
Hey, brainless, magazines are hard to come by.
Yeah, yeah. And then, a little bit later, he's like, someday I'm going to have a harem and multiple wives. You'll see. Imagine saying that to anybody aloud. Well, unless he's like from the Church of Latter-day Saints or something like that, back in the day where, you know, it used to be okay to marry multiple wives. By the way, we're not done with George Bailey. We don't have time in this segment, but George Bailey's game in It's a Wonderful Life is absolutely atrocious. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, do players like Michael Brantley still have a place in baseball? And are they worth $12 million up to $16 million over the course of a baseball season? We'll discuss that next. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.